Hope to go just a little bit further this week with what we had on our heart last week, and hope maybe you might understand a little more why it's so important what we talked about last week. Nothing new. Last week we tried to preach on the labors of few, and we talked about a whole lot about excuses last week, and how we all have got a lot of excuses why we don't do the Lord's work. We got excuses why we don't come to church. We got excuses why we don't do this, why we don't do that. I don't want to tell you right now, I had every kind of excuse in the world not to preach His word, but none of them was good enough. But and I'm going to tell you right now, the excuses you use not to serve the Lord ain't good enough. But you may not want to hear that, but it's still the truth. I want to read from Judges chapter 7. Y'all pray for us. It's been a while since I preached on Gideon, so but feels like about Monday this really got laid upon my heart. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves or get lifted up themselves against me, and saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Gilead from Mount Gilead, and then return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. And then the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, they shall not go with thee. And the same shall not go. And so he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall set by himself. And likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lap, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all that the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go every man into his place. So the people that took the victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest unto Israel, every man to his own tent, and reigned those retained those 300 men, and the host of the Midian was beneath him in the valley. And with the mistakes we made reading, that's reading to the 8th verse, and we want to go read over here some more scriptures, maybe a little lengthy again for a text, but then we're going to try to get back to that, and hopefully the Lord let us preach a little while on those scriptures. But in Matthew 22, to do with the wedding and the marriage, it says over there, then he saith unto his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came and to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said he the king unto the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. Thou shalt be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." And I hope and pray that the Lord would help us today to look at that. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so we find over here with Gideon, there started off with 32,000 people there that Gideon could have took and fought the battle there against the Midianites. But the Lord said that was too many. And before we get too far into this today, keep in mind, I know what I said or thought is today, many are called but few are chosen. And I do want us to look at that, but I want you to keep in mind about the laborers are few. And I believe in all my heart that the Lord has chose us out. He's called us to repentance, and He's chose us to be church members. And so each one of us has got a job to do. And I believe the Lord knew of those men who was going to be willing to go into battle, who had faith to stand with Gideon and fight on his behalf. Not on Gideon's behalf, but on the Lord's behalf. And I believe today, and I want you to understand today, you can go to work in the vineyard today and start being the best church member you can be starting today. And in this hour, and we might talk about that in a little while, but listen, God knew who was going to do the work. I want you to look around here today. Look around who's sitting beside you. Look at your pastor. I'm looking at you. Would you want to go to battle with the one that's sitting beside you? Would you have faith in them to go to battle with them? And I feel like they would have your back. Or would you feel like they might turn tail and run, so to speak, when it come down to the nitty gritty, when it got down to the rough part? Listen, how would you feel about going to battle with me? I want to ask you that. I want you to be serious. And then I want you to really get down to it. And I want you to know how you'd feel about going to battle yourself on the behalf of the Lord. I want you to understand. You might say, "Well, you're our pastor. I'd be glad to go to battle with you." You better be quick on how you choose. Because he said, "For there's 22,000 went away." He said, "First you send the one away that's afraid." I want you to know that was fearful. Honey, when he called me to preach for 8 years, I was on the run. I know what it's like to be the one that's afraid to go into the battle and scared. So you better be quick on who you choose, who you might pick to go into battle with. But I want you to get it down today and just look at yourself and how would you choose. When I was a boy, I want you to know how we'd go out and to play basketball or football or baseball. It was always somebody there like Cody. That's who I see sitting out there. That's the bigger guy. That's the stout guy, Dusty. If we was picking a basketball team today, Dusty would be the one to get to pick, wouldn't he? You always pick the best player, the two best players, and then they was one that Josh would be the baseball man. He would, and I was always that guy that stood over there like it's right here. Come on, come on, pick me, pick me. And down there about the end, somebody'd say, "Well, I'll take Jeff," you know. And I don't blame them. I mean, you're looking at what it is. I was just as clumsy then as I am now. Always the very best one chose. I want you to keep in mind who's doing the choosing here. It's not Gideon. He's picking out people that he believes that will go into battle and stay and finish the fight. Amen.
finished her course. And it was important to him to make sure Gideon had the right ones with him. And I want you to know Gideon didn't do the choosing, but God done the choosing. So it started off with 32,000 people. And he said the ones that are afraid that ain't going to do the job, the one that when it gets down to the tough part, you just go ask them. And if they're going to be afraid to fight the battle, I let them go. And I want you to know right then, 22,000 took off and left. And that left them with 10,000. And he said, that's still too many, because you'll get to thinking you've done it on your own. You'll never save yourself. If you're saved, you're saved by grace. There's nothing you can do on your own to save yourself. And that's a lesson into that. So he told them, he said, 10,000 is too many. So he took them down to the water's edge. There's all kinds of people out there and every different denomination that's been saved by God's grace. And honey, I want you to know there's millions out there. I believe that in all my heart. But when you go down to the water's edge, you separate some from the others. And I believe that in all my heart. So he told them to go down to the water's edge. And then he told them, those that get down and drink, basically with their mouth, like it's right here, drinking this way, you set them one way. And the ones that get down and take a drink from the water and lap it from their mouth, you set them to the other side. And honey, it got down to 300 men that done that, that lapped in the ever. I've said it and I've heard other preachers. I don't know. I've heard different ones say why he chose them. I know why he chose them, because he knew they was going to be the one that would do the work. Some say they was more attentive, keeping their eye out. I believe good church members will be attentive, keeping their eye out for trouble. But I want you to understand this. Many are called, but few are chosen, and the labor's a few. We'll get down, you figure that up. What do you end up with when you get that 300 out of 32,000? About 1%. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you the truth today. I said it last week. If it hurts your feelings last week, it's probably going to hurt them today. But we probably got 300 members here. I'm asking you, would you be the 30 to be on his team? I'm not sure if I was him, I'd pick Jeff. I believe Jeff would be still standing over there going like, here, come on, Lord, pick me. These kind of things hurt, but it ain't got to hurt. You can try. You can start doing everything you can to serve him. You can show up Sunday after Sunday. I want you to realize, we'll talk about that maybe in a minute, about that to do with the vineyard over there. But there comes a point, if you've been saved by God's grace and you're a member of his church, you need to go to work for him. And I mean, you don't need to go to work for him half-heartedly. You need to go to work for him knowing that he knows he can depend on you. I want you to know, we as God's people, we at Hilltop Church, we need to look around here and think, I can depend on you. Can I depend on you, brother? And you need to be, I need to know, Barry, when it comes down to it, that you'll be there. You won't run. You won't leave me. You won't go off and leave me to fight the battle alone. I believe it could have been to 32,000, but you got to be willing. When I was a boy, I always wanted to be the first one. I wanted to do the picking, I ain't gonna lie. I wanted to be the best one, but I at least would like to be the first one picked by the best one. But I never was. I wore an old basketball out yonder on the side of a bar, shooting free throws, shooting layups, doing all these stuff. I'd stand out there with my ball bat and swing my arms off trying to hit a ball. I threw a football straight up in the air and run and catch it. I wanted to do that. I wanted to bust that end zone, Brother Larry. I wanted to go through yonder. I'd love to be the one that went there and fell down and thank the Lord. Lord for what he done for me. I would love to be the one that's standing up there with the bases loaded, down three runs, and you popped her ball. She sailed and went over the center field fence, and you come running around third base like that. You turned her, headed towards home. The whole team coming out of the dugout. The crowd going wild. I want to hit that shot. You down one, and the clock buzzer fits to go off of you. Nothing but that. And the crowd. Never happened. Matter of fact, when I finally did play baseball, if I hit the ball, it was a miracle. I always swung late. I'd always played softball. So everything I hit went in right field. I never hit a home run. I never hit the winning shot. I never got the touchdown. The best players never did pick me. But then one day, as a 14-year-old boy, calling on the name of the Lord, realized I'm not worthy to be on this team. I was the sorriest one there. He reached down, and he chose me. He picked me. Then the following Sunday, after the revival ended, down the water's edge, he chose me again to be a part of his bride. He saw something in me that no one else did. He saw something in me I didn't even see in myself. He saw something in me that he could use. He sees something in you today. You wouldn't be here today if he didn't see that in you. He has chose you to go into battle for him. He believes that you're going to do it. He believes in you today. Believe, have faith in yourself. So again, he took those 300 men. There was a dream interpreted between there and then. He took in 300 men. He separated them out into three different groups. And he told them, you do as I do. He said, well, you see what I do? He said, I take the sword of the Lord of Gideon. And he said, break your vessels. And I want you to know, us as God people need to break these earthly vessels. When they broke their vessels, their light shined. And I want you to know, they overcome the enemy. The Lord healed 10 of leprosy one time, and there was only one that returned to give him honor and glory. 10%. Laborers are few. Many are called, but few are chosen. Y'all all know by now I run. Y'all can still make fun of me about it. That's all right. I'll tell you this, and you'll get a good laugh out of this. And I was running the other day, and they got some neighbors moved in there, and their house is not from here, that wall off the road. And I was running there, and she was out there on the phone, on the porch, on the phone. I'm running through, and I said, morning. She said, good morning. And then she looked, said in her phone, she said, oh, it's some old man running down the road. I won't tell you morning. So the next morning I come through, good morning. But she didn't make no remark. About 5 years ago, I told y'all I started walking on that treadmill. And I asked the Lord, I'd love to be able to run 5 miles. And I know that may sound silly, and it just don't know, make sense. But to me, you got to understand where I come from. And 13, I'd had back surgery. And they told me for the year, if it wasn't better, I would never get no better. I laid on the couch, not able to work, not able to take care of my wife. I watched the trees bud out. A little over a year later, it wasn't no better, and I'd give up. I'd decided that would be my rest of my life. And then God's people kept praying. And next thing you know, I was getting better. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord healed me. And in 17, my daddy died. My brother had passed away. I decided I'm going to have to do better. So I began to start walking, and I began to start praying. I wanted to be able to do that. I never run for the touchdown. I never hit the home run. I never hit the winning shot. I never done none of those things. But here about a month or so ago, I was running. And I'd run 4 miles. I'd done 4.5 a few days before. And I thought that day I'd come through. And I thought, saw her sitting on the porch. She sits out there worries about me, afraid I'm going to have a heart attack, I guess. But I come through and I said, I'm going for it. And I at that time, I liked a mile. I went on down to Randall Dixon's. I turned back. And here I come. And when I come running up there, she is standing out there in the yard with a phone playing Rocky. And I come running up 300. It was finally my time. Finally, I had my opportunity. Finally, I had my time. And you know what I ended up doing? I went in there and sat down in my chair. And I began to weep. And I began to thank God. Because I knew where my strength had come from. I knew I'd never done it without Him. I knew what that guy felt like to cross the end zone. That knew God deserved the honor and glory. The guy that hit the home run shot. The guy that hit the, I want you to know the three-pointer. I knew what it's like to dunk it, and God done it. Yes. You can know that. You can know that. You're the chosen. You're the ones they took down to the water's edge. You're His bride. You're that sin of the world. Some of them will be saved. They'll still never serve Him. They'll never even unite with the Lord's church. But there'll be some that'll go down there to the water's edge. And honey, He'll choose them out. And He'll take and use them for Him. They'll go into a battle and you're in one. And you got the best team leader ever was. When He chose you, He saw something you didn't see in yourself, I promise you. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in this vineyard. And when he had agreed with his laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went about the sixth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And then say he unto them, because they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. No man had picked them, but he did. And if you'll go on, I'll go read it to you in a minute, because I don't, once again, it said, but many are called, but few are chosen. Since he went out about the third hour at 9 o'clock in the morning, he found others standing. He went out early in the morning, and then the 9 o'clock, he went out. At 12 o'clock, he went out and found it, the 11th hour, the last hour of the day, the last hour. I'm entering my last hour. You can tell that old man running down the road. I'm in my 11th hour. Now, I know that. I was a late bloomer. I was late getting started. But I got started.
Amen.
And I want to finish. And I want you to.
Amen.
I want you to finish with me. And I want to finish with you.
Amen.
And I want to finish with him. And you say, well, you may not ever. I may not. A ship can sail around the world, a mile from port can sink. But I'm determined. Would you go to battle with me? Would you, Corey? Would you? I'd go to battle with you. I would. I trust you.
Amen.
If the whole world turned against me tomorrow, Cody, I believe you'd still choose me. You would, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I'd still choose you. You know why? Because he chose you. He's the one that sees that you'll finish the battle with him. So he sent them out to go find the ones for the marriage. Today, if you've been half-heartedly trying to serve him, why you stand idle? And I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm talking about being at church. When you come, take a part of church. Come to hear the word of God. Come to pray. Come to testify. Come to go to battle. Be that percent that the Lord knows he can use. That you'll break this old earthly vessel and your light will shine out. And you'll take the sword of the Lord. The word of God. And you'll stand and fight that battle with him. Are you that percent? Are you? I pray we are. And when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them all their hire. Beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto the last, even unto thee. Y'all may not get much, but I love this, because I was one of the last ones. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with my own.
That's right.
Is not I evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. So whatever part of the day it is in your life, You may be early in the morning. You may be at 6 o'clock. You may be in the first watch at 9 o'clock. You may be in the second watch at 12 o'clock. You may be in the third watch or in the fourth watch. I don't know where you're at. I guess the first watch is 6, the second 9, the third 12. It's the Old Testament. They had 3 watches. Gideon went there at midnight. He went there to surprise them, and that was in the middle watch. But listen, whatever time of your life you're in, go to work in the vineyard because he shows you. He's chose you to be a worker in his kingdom. So just go to work. Let's go to work together. Last week was a little bit harder about her excuses, and I'm going to tell you right now. I said it last week, and you call me and say, my father's died. I'd say, yeah, we'll see you next Sunday. We're praying for you. You call me and say, I just took a wife. We're heading on our honeymoon, and I say, well, y'all have a big time. We'll see you next Sunday. They're good excuses with me. They really are. But with the Lord, there ain't no excuses. It's either you want to serve him or you want to serve everything else. So let's quit making excuses and let's start serving the Lord. That's my thought. Many are called, but few are chosen. The laborers truly are few. And you say, well, you stood up there and told us you're part of that. No, I ain't saying that. I'm saying I want to be part of that 1%. I'm saying I want to go to battle with you. But I want you to go to battle with me. I want us to be that 1%. I want us to battle together. If you got a song, we'll have a handshake.